evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It is 1-7-2021. And I tell you, we had 1-6 yesterday, didn't we? 6. And then if you add up 2-0 and 1 is 3 and 2 is 5. And don't you know, 5 is funnier, they used to say. But 5 is the number of the KGB directorate. 5 was what was in charge of wet work. FBI Div 5 was in charge of all kind of wet work, COINTELPRO, and all of the sneaky, underhanded crap, okay? Like Strzok and Page and Comey and McCabe and Orr and all of those people trying to run a coup d'etat against President Trump from the very beginning of his presidency that have never been held to account. And when you got Christopher Wray, the piece of crap FBI hairspray director, and his sidekick who covered up all of the terror crap that they ran with COINTELPRO and MKUltra and Sacramento, Booty Malibu Booty Bootich, they never have been held to account. Prosibiec, none of them. McCabe, none of them. And all of them have lied, lied to grand juries, lied to other people. Those are the smallest things, but they did a coup d'etat. But Bull Durham, oh, big Bull Durham, up, 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 up. Bull Durham is bullshite. Bullshit. William P. Barr, I told you weeks ago, cost Trump the election on a CIA op. But we did not know how far the operation would go, did we? Now we know it was 1/6 of a 666. See, the first 6 of a 666, right? The first 6. Did you get what I'm saying? 1/6 was yesterday. And now we know today that we can step back and take a look at things. But you see, the fact of the matter is, there's been no accountability for high crimes, for treason. Treason! McCabe, Strzok, Page, Comey, Hillary, Brennan, former head of the CIA, Clapper, Clapper of the DNI. All of those people never have been held to account for an attempt to overthrow Trump, but see, they never quit. They got outed, and we got into the thing, and it got brought out by good people for the last 2-3 years. John Solomon, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Von Gino, all the different people, Hannity, all the different people talking about what went on and bringing out the information about who did what. They get them lying on the FISA court, and then old Lindsey Graham is Trump's golf partner and his friend, and last night he said enough is enough. He held the damn hearings and left Rosenstein off the hook. Rosenstein allegedly hired the DEA and that ATF hitman to set up the deal to do the Seth Rich. Allegedly, and they let them off the hook. All I know is that Seth Rich is the one that had the downloadable stuff, the little thumb drive, and he's the one that gave Assange the stuff, not Snow, not, you know, whatever, you know? Nobody associated with Trump. And Seth Rich was taken out, but he didn't get taken out. He got into the hospital, and there was a doctor working on him, if you remember the exact story of the day. But you see, people do not remember, because you're too busy clicking your phones and on this Facebook and EIEIO book, updating your own dossier. Get off of Facebook. Get off of Twitter. Get up of all of that crap. Just get up. Don't give them your data anymore. Don't use Google. Use another search engine of some kind, but just don't give Google a fair shot. Mix them up, you know. Here's the story. Because what we have now is fog of war. Fog of war. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not yet by and by. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines. You need to be buying more food, more food, more food, more food. Do you have 3.5 years of food? If you don't, then get at least one more can of chunky soup, one more can of Progresso soup. Cause get something with the meat and the vegetables and the taters and the gravy and you got it made. You throw it in the pot, you heat it up, and you got enough stuff to fight and to stay alive, okay? Pestilences. We all know about the COVID. I was right all along. I guarantee you. Allegedly Fauci and those in the NIH and all of that paid somebody. And the more you see about the vaccines, the mRNA, which is an operation system, an operating system, like in the old days when they first brought out OS2 or whatever at IBM, an operating system. They got it in you to permanently change your DNA and allegedly put luciferase, organic materials in there that compose a chip and a unique identifier that allows them entry into your system, into your operating system from outside of the neurophysiological template. How many years have I been telling you about the truth about that? They can work it with a frequency now once you get that. Or maybe you die like the perfectly healthy obstetrician in Miami Beach about 2 weeks later, and you die about 16 days later because they find out that all of a sudden after he takes the injection, he has no blood platelets at all in his body. No platelets that would make it allow for clotting. Well, that's a hemorrhagic situation, isn't it? And the fact of the matter is, just like talking to Garth Nicholson years ago, Dr. Garth Nicholson used to be head of MD Anderson Cancer Clinic, and I talked to him for 20, 30 minutes in Green Valley, Missouri. Green Valley, Missouri, where there was a Mid-American Constitution Convention, and I talked to him about it then. And he and his wife were the top 5 mycologists in the world. And they're the ones that looked at the Gulf War illness because their daughter, who has a special ops pilot, brought it home. And they found, and Gardner Dickinson told me, looked me in the eye, that he said, we found that there was about a 40 to 42% of the genetic envelope of HIV or AIDS, the HIV virus, comprised in the Gulf War illness. And you see, that made it easier to catch. It's the thing that teaches the cell, you see. Oh, open up. It's like the foolish virgins. Oh, Lord, Lord, open to us. And then you open the door and they come in and they say, we're going to grab all your lamp oil, you see. This is the way they've done it. The mRNA allegedly is the operating system. And then people are getting all kind of weird illnesses, monsterism after the second shot. Then maybe the giant genes start to kick in and your head starts to swell 3-4 times. Maybe the giant genes, you see, kick in. Oh, they're saying that maybe it's that this person who took it, they might have still some of the genetic structure of the the caveman. You know what I'm saying? And not my friend the caveman, but they have some of the genetic structure of the caveman, you see, from the ancient days. And that's why their heads are going goofy and looking weird. But let's take a look at this thing. But let's back off from it. And let's go back to Luke 21 here just a second. Earthquakes, diverse places, famines and pestilences. And with the pestilences, you need to be getting a hold of things that are discussed online. You know, talk about it for your horses. You know, you got, what is it, ivermectin for horses? Well, down in the Aussie world, you have a lot of doctors. I think a Dr. Barodi, I believe his name is, and he did a lot of studies with the vector ivermectin, which is available apparently or allegedly as an edible paste. And apparently comes for horses, and you can just dose it in things that are equivalent to 50-pound increments of the horse, you see. That's one hash mark or whatever. If you just did a search on ivermectin, which is also used for different parasite infections of humans, and is found to be, for the most part, allegedly fairly safe, not perfectly, but fairly safe, you see. And if you did a search and you searched for ivermectin for humans and just availed yourself of the literature for that, then for certain you could at least understand it might be good for your horse. And then that doctor down there in that other place and down below, you know, Aussie land, well, he was using doxycycline. Now, isn't that interesting that the doxycycline was one of the things that Garth Nicholson and his wife utilized with a lot of the Gulf War veterans to help them back then? Garth Nicholson also told me back then at the Gulf War that he also found evidence of transmissible cancers. In other words, cancer that you could give to somebody else through contact. Transmissible. That smacks of research into the RNA, DNA, and the look for genetic weapons, genetic type weapons. This is the fallen angel kind of world, you see. So for famines, pestilences, and earthquakes are fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. If you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, sir, they hate you. Allegedly, this current president-elect, China Joe and Commissar Kamala, they hate you, you see. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Don't give your soul up and don't worship their beast. They force the beast, the mark on you, then you be sure and don't worship it. That's for darn sure. But now what would a mark be if you had an identifier mark with the forced vaccination, which I guarantee is coming, because in the first 100 days of Joe Biden, Commissar Kamala, China Joe, they're going to come like 100 mile an hour in the first 100 days. and I fully expect taxes to be immediately raised. I would expect that that might be 40% higher, at least, and they'll do away with all the tax deductions under Trump. They'll get rid of all of the things that Trump did to remove the restrictions and regulations. They're going to add all that stuff back on. That's going to destroy businesses in the midst of the COVID. They're going to do mandatory vaccinations, I allege, and mandatory masking and contact tracing, and they're going to lock you down tighter than a drum. And then in the midst of all of that, you'll probably see another virus that's much more deadly and really starts killing people. And if those of you who listen to me all these years, you remember I told you back in 2004 and 5 how I had a vision or a dream, and I was in Chicago back at that time, this vision, and I was in this dark, dark world of Chicago. There were hardly any lights on, and I saw a checker cab coming down the street. And I waved to him, and the guy had a gun on me. He says, "What do you got for fare?" I said, "I got a couple cans of vegetables." He said, "That'll do. Where do you want to go?" So I gave him the couple cans of vegetables. I said, "I want to go to Cook County General. I got to see if I've got this illness or this disease. I want to get a test." He said, "Man, you do not want to go there. That place is all of the grounds, the huge hospital grounds and grassy areas out in front of Cook County General were filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of people dying of some plague, some sort of bioweapon, okay?" I said, "I gotta get tested, man." He said, "Okay." But he said, "When I open the door, you leap out because I gotta peel out quick." So we get down there and I say, "Oh my God, look at this. The door is open, man, go." And I jumped out. And then I said, "Well, where do you go to see a doctor?" And the people said, "We just come here to die. There's no doctors. If they are, they're inside." So I worked around the perimeter of the building. I found a place to go in, and I snuck in to Cook County General in this vision or dream. And the hallways are just filled with people dying and bleeding out from stuff and just puking. And I mean, just pestilence like you can't believe. And I looked around, and I said, "There's no people here. Where are the doctors? The doctors are all dead." So then I went back the way I came, and I left, and the dream was over. I sent that in to Brother Steve Quayle years ago. He had it up on his old website prior to redoing his other one. And so I've known something like this coming. You're going to see a worse biological weapon be released in probably the United States by the Red Chinese Lucys. Now let's go back to who gave somebody's son named Hunter $1.5 billion. What was it, the Bank of China or some bank over there in China gave it to him to invest because he was such a known great investor. And then remember the big guy, China Joe, he had to get a cut of half of what Hunter got, right? So now you got that guy appoints Merrick Garland. Well, I allegedly I've heard that he took so long to appoint his quote-unquote attorney general, making sure through cutouts and ways of doing it and the wink and the nod and the where Joe puts his little finger up to his eye like he wants you to look like he's a mob boss, and he puts the finger up to the eye, or he puts it to his ear so they can turn up the volume in the microphone where they give him the words to say in case he gets flustered, you see. We're through the looking glass, people. This country is done. Now, I heard Newt Gingrich this morning say that had Mitch McConnell gone for the $2,000 checks, probably you'd have two Republican senators in Georgia right now, because that was the local issue, even in the cities and the rural areas. that have been hurt so bad from the COVID and all of the lockdowns and all of the crap. And McConnell wouldn't do it even though Trump did. Because you see, let's go back to the Chinese. Well, Lady Chow resigned today as your Secretary of Transportation. Lady Chow is married to Mushmouth Mitch. Mushmouth Mitch, remember, he was the one leading the charge for the Republicans in Georgia, in them elections in Georgia. And he did the big charismatic video, didn't he, to raise money and to get the vote out in Georgia. Remember all that bull crap? Mushmouth Mitch, charismatic, is about as far as you can. Anyway, he ain't. He's probably less charismatic than China Joe. At least when China Joe doesn't know where he's at, he's got dog-faced pony soldiers, or you're a one-horse pony, you know, for Deucey, the Deucey kid. So at least he's entertaining, whereas Mushmouth ain't. But Gingrich said it looks like he cost the two senators that extra amount by not doing the $2,000 check. That was a big item in all of Georgia, a local issue that they didn't pay attention to. Now, if one looks at this whole thing, what is the purpose of what happened on the first six? The first six, you see, of the year that adds up to five, because five is funnier and five is wet work. Well, let's go to the wet work for a second. Now, let's go to the beginning of the, what I call the beginning of the assault by the first frontal groups through those bicycle-type barriers at the Capitol. And when they're tussling with the cops and the yellow jacket cops, the Capitol Police, at the barriers, and then the one old police captain or whatever comes up and grabs onto the barrier and reaches over to punch a guy. I thought that was kind of interesting. An old Irish guy coming up, you know, to punch the guy. I thought that was pretty cool. Police captain's getting in his lick, or the lieutenant, or whoever he was. But the fact of the matter is, in the background, if you listen, you got more than one or two senses. You can see, hear, taste, smell, feel. You know what I'm saying? You got to use your senses. And you know what I heard in the background, and I heard this before this past summer. I also have heard it before at the, similar to it, in the World Cup down in South Africa years ago. That's what I heard. Maybe you can guess. But right before they really started going toe-to-toe with those cops, in the background I heard, "Aah! It was one of them honky horns that Antifa and BLM were using all summer long to change their tactics. I heard them use them when they had the little kids up on the bike, on the motorbikes in Kansas City, and they were running up to see what's going on, and they would go back, and then I would hear, you know, the horn. I remember hearing that in Portland and Seattle at the Chad and all the different places in New York City and Chicago and all the different protests in Minnesota. It was that horn in the background. That was the lieutenant or the sergeant giving a command to the Antifa BLM troopers to change their tactics or to move to a new unit formation or to give them the green light. And then where did I hear it before? It was the vuvuzelas. The vuvuzelas. And there was a cacophony, remember? A cacophony of vuvuzelas at the World Cup. And it sounded demonic. It's like the honky horn, I call them. All right? Or a hunter's horn. Like the hunters where they unleashed the dogs. The hellhounds against you. So that horn went up, and then they went after it toe-to-toe and broke through the barriers and started the assault on the Capitol. But in other places on the south side of the Capitol, Trump supporters tried to prevent, and they yelled out on the videotapes, "No Antifa here! Don't do that! No Antifa!" And they grabbed the people, tried to keep them from breaking the windows of the Capitol. But let's back up from that for a second, and let's go outward and look down on it. What is it that they did? Let's look at one level here. One level of this is that the very stolen election, which it was stolen in about 5, 6, 7 states, maybe a little bit in all of them on the voting machines, but in the swing states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, you see, those states at least, they had the machines working, and allegedly the, and I saw it the other night when I was watching during the night, I was watching one of the races, either Perdue and Ossoff, or it was the Warlock versus Lepler, the Warlock. The Warlock, you see, they like to take urine and pour it on the little kids and make them sleep out at the tennis court at night in their Christian summer camp, right? I don't think so. The Warlock, the Warlock, the Warlock. So it was either one of those two races, and I watched it, and I watched, and I said, oh, that's the same algorithm they used allegedly what they talked about for Trump and Joe Biden. That it was 113% if you vote for Biden. If you vote for Trump, you only got 87% of the vote. And that was the alleged algorithm. But you see, they blocked it in all the courts, and as well as Bull Durham is bullshit, and William P. Barr is a CIA cover-up scumbag who kept Durham from bringing indictments that the local prosecutor could have indicted. Strzok, Page, Comey, McCabe, Orr, Baker, on and on and on. Could have gotten them for lying, for coup d'etat against the President of the United States. And then today Joe Biden says, well, you know, that Barr, he's the one that was on Trump's side and prevented anybody from getting at the fact that Putin was giving Trump orders and that they stole the election, the Russians stole the election in 2016. But he said none of this stuff they're talking about in this. There's been no proof. Barr was the exact reverse. So Biden gave Barr cover today. Gave Barr cover today. But the fact is, they could have indicted all of those people, and they should have been indicted last year early or at the end of 18, because the evidence was already there. They could have indicted a few of them and gone up the ladder. All right? Never mind the Hunter Biden stuff that they killed back and that big tech suppressed and all of it. Now, you see, that gets you to certain places. But let's get back and drill down again. I'm going back and forth here at different levels of looking at the scene on the first six. There's going to be more sixes, you understand? Because the evil Luciferian scumbags in the highest levels of the intelligence, the Justice Department, the FBI, CIA, EIEIO, NSA, DIA, all of these places. Marine Corps Intel, ONI, once ONI, always ONI. It reminds me of the Kennedy assassination. Because what happened at the Capitol building yesterday? Even if they're not expecting a riot necessarily, 250,000 people is what was in the ellipse and in the, you know, reflecting pool in between the Washington Monument and the Capitol. At least 250,000. Could have been more. But when you see the full shots of the crowds, they really don't show you too much. They're huge! So you would think that they would have had more police at the Capitol just as a general principle. In case something went wrong. But the very fact of that, I flash back in my memory to the Kennedy assassination when I recall that listening to Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the special ops guy, he was the Air Force colonel, he was the one that got the Dalai Lama out, he was the like the forerunner of the JSOC people, okay? And they did all the down and dirty tricks, the stuff that don't exist by men who are been dead for years, but still operate, the ghosts and all the stuff. So Fletcher Prouty, if you remember in the movie, even in the movie JFK, but I read his book and I've seen other stuff about it, the military intelligence group out of Texas, I believe it was, what was it, the 311th or 310th, I think it was 311th Military Intelligence Group, Army Intelligence, I believe either out of Fort Sam Houston or out of some other base down in South Texas, that they were told by somebody at a high level to stand down and to not to come to Dallas, and were ordered not to come to Dallas to assist in protecting of the president, even though that was their normal job if he was going to be in that area. It is the, as Prouty said, it's the withholding of the procedures, the withholding of the standard protocols that allowed the assassination to happen back then. And to allow those who are in the, as my brother Greg Evenson used to say, allow those who were in the briar patch. And he said there's a lot of different briar patches. To do the dirty work, just as yesterday on the first six, the protocol was all switched and changed. And there were no cops there and no standard, there was no perimeter defense. And in some cases, they even allowed people to come in, and then with shows of minimal shows of force, that's the guy, the great big black guy, Capitol Police, who had to drop back and get his baton off the floor. I mean, with that baton and that guy, he could have waded into the first three guys, no problem. He could have called on his radio for backup. Instead, he leads them up to a higher floor, doesn't he? But now let's get, before I get too deep into this, was he showing them where the senior leadership's offices were at, like Pelosi? People, this was Antifa and paid actors and a lot of people up in the front of the line, and then some good old boys that went along because they got caught up in the mix. But you see, that's another thing, is that the CIA and the No Such and all of them are real adept at managing crowds. I mean, let's look at back in the old days, you know. Somebody involved in the Kennedy assassination, you know. You see his name right there. You see his name right there briefly in the movie JFK. It's who the colonel, which is the one I'm telling you about earlier, Prouty, Fletcher Prouty, goes to see his boss in the Pentagon. And the guy that's in there is the one that was in charge of, and they wrote the book, The Ugly American, and made the movie, The Ugly American, about, because that guy used to, run the various groups in the Philippines when they were trying to run the Philippines because the Philippines were an American. Were an American colony or protectorate. It's kind of funny. I'm just looking at Jim Maher's crossfire right here. And I'm just thumbing through looking at pictures and different stuff because this is all just so incredible. But L. Fletcher Prouty, and I can't think of the guy's name. And then there were guys above him, admirals and different people. And they were the ones that ran the show for the powers that be, which would be the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and those that own the shares in the New York Federal Reserve and in the other Federal Reserve banks. The Illuminati, those that are tied directly to the Queen of England, to the Rothschilds, to the other royal families, to the Li family in China, allegedly. And the fact of the matter is, they're establishing the New World Order under the Davos last year, Great Reset. They want to do the Georgia Guidestones on you. No more than 500 million planet Earth in perpetual harmony. Well, there's 7.5 billion. We're going to have to kill about 7 billion people, aren't you? Well, that's what the near future is going to hold. And then the Digo report, allegedly still, they're the ones that do statistics for the intelligence agencies, still lists in 2025, population of the United States, 99 million people. Oh, but Hawk, we've got 330 or 40 million now. Yeah, but we won't have. So let's go to the, sorry to say, the Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt. But then they found some other kind of a name for her. The D.C. Metro Police Chief has her under a different name and then a Maryland address. Thought that was very interesting. And her husband's back in San Diego working in their business or whatever. But he's interviewed today and said, well, my wife is got her own political ideas and all these things, and she's works with people, and here's the catchphrase, of like mind. Have you been hearing that? Do you have the like mind of these people? Because you're deplorable too, aren't you, out there? And then she talked QAnon, and then in her last post on her Facebook or whatever it was, she had something, and she called herself, what, Angel 321? Well, she also says something about the storm is coming and that dark will go to light, okay? It looks like a little bit of a code or a Manchurian, maybe catchphrase, you know? Like something you repeat, like Sirhan Sirhan repeated with his Rosicrucian self-hypnosis, looking himself in the mirror, allegedly. You know, the guy that saw the polka dot dress woman and then ended up being the guy that drew attention in the kitchen there when RFK was assassinated. And he had, what, a 9-shot 22 revolver. And RFK was killed from the back with a 38, which apparently, allegedly, was from Eugene Thane Cesar, mob hitman who ended up in Philippines years ago later on. Back to the Philippines, right? With the ugly American. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is the same kind of a thing. The CIA and the powers that be did not like Trump, who was a populist president, who did not go along and play ball with their New World Order. He wanted to actually improve the working man and the family and the middle class in the United States. Return the United States back to its basics, back to what made it great, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and free markets, etc. Now, you know, Andrew Jackson, they always have the comparison. Andrew Jackson fought against the Bank of America, which was the bank, the United States, the Bank of America, the central bank of the United States. And he fought it tooth and nail. And the last time the Capitol got burnt was, they kept saying it, old Jonathan Turley from University of Virginia, down the hill from when if you were up at Monticello. Of course, you can't say, oh, that Jefferson, we should blow up Monticello, too, and get rid of the Jefferson Monument, the Lincoln, the Washington Monuments, all of that, and have Cucucabala Monument, all right? Allah! Allah Kabbalah, Bala Bala Bala, a monument, right? Well, that's what's coming, but the fact is, looking down at the University of Virginia, that's where old Turley's at. Well, constitutional scholar and all that bull crap. So Jefferson could look down right from his room there in Monticello with a telescope and see the University of Virginia, which he first brought onto the boards, you know. First created, helped to create it, build it. But old Turley talked about 1814. Well, that's when, in 1814, we took a little trip down to Mississippi, you know, with the old Colonel Jackson, right? Fought the bloody British in the Battle of New Orleans, right? I know Lady J would know that song. She's out there, she could sing it. But he took a little bacon, took a little beans, right? Well, that's a pretty good idea for you to do. And we fought the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. Fired our guns and the British kept it coming. Wouldn't as many as it was a while ago. Fired once more and they began to run it. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. And then at one point in time, they fired our cannons till the barrels melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fired another round. And who did he fight with? Jackson fought with Lafitte, the pirate, and all the wild boys from Tennessee and all over, all right? But they had them good old Pennsylvania rifles that could shoot a little bit further, you see. There are parallels, ladies and gentlemen. But here, if we step back a little bit, and let me go back to this Air Force woman. In the videos, and I've seen about three videos, there's different looks to this. And you hear eyewitness testimony, too. And apparently, one of the guys filming a video is a guy named Sullivan, who allegedly started a left-wing Antifa organization somewhere, I think, in Utah. The Sullivan guy, allegedly. And then an ironic that China Joe's national security guy is named Sullivan, too, isn't it? That's kind of a coincidence, I guess. But why is an Antifa guy in there with the Trump people in this inner hallway in the House office area trying to go through the doors? Well, the first video shows the Air Force Angela Babbitt, who once again today on TV, they had her under another name and with an address in Maryland. Was she an operative of, say, the NSA or the CIA or the DIA or the EIEIO? Did QAnon contact her, or was she an MK Ultra, or who was she? And she's wearing the U.S. flag as kind of like a Superman cape, and she's up on the window trying to get through the window. And in the one first video I saw, she gets shot, and they fall down, and they bring her to the ground, and then they're listening to me immediately in the video. From behind her, not more than 2 feet or 3 feet, there are at least three blue and one gray uniformed security people or Capitol Police. Two of them at least have M4 carbine race gun setups. And they're standing right behind her. And then there's also a guy with like a blue suit jacket or whatever and white shirt and all that that's an undercover. and he's with them right there, and they're only 3 feet behind this woman, and then the guy filming that allegedly is this guy Sullivan. And then they bring her to the floor and everything, and then I see something very interesting. They're pretending to, like, give her a resuscitator or give her some kind of first aid, and they're fussing over her. But the one guy, the plainclothes, he lifts her backpack up, okay, real high in the back, and so the straps would be choking her blood off and pushing her head forward. And if the bullet came from the front, then the bullet would be, have exited and maybe hit the backpack. And then you see him fool around with that, and he puts her down on the ground again. And then he looks up underneath her kerchief where she's tied her flag. And then one of the Capitol Police officers with the M4 race gun, he has a little like a telpa pad, a little 44, 4x4, or 5x5 gauze pad, and I see it in his hand. It kind of looks white or like a Kleenex, but I think it's a gauze pad out of a first aid kit. And he's like, he's pretending to, you know, they're working on her and everything. But only they really aren't. If you study it, they're really not trying to help her. What the plainclothes guy was doing is to look to see if the bullet came out the back. And then all of a sudden, I see the guy in the blue uniform with the helmet and the M4. All of a sudden, he reaches down, and then he's got this little white gauze thing, and he's got it all crumpled up in his hand. And what does he do? He hands it over to the guy in the blue suit jacket, and then that guy holds it. Then he kind of rubs it on her and kind of puts it over her body and all that stuff. And at that minute, the guy in the gray BDU uniform with the helmet, he jumps up and he says, "Get the F back, get the F back. We're trying to help her, trying to help her, trying to help her." No, those guys were trying to get the spent round, the bullet that was come through her throat, which allegedly, at the time, I thought it may have come from back of her, right? And they were looking under a kerchief for it. But then it gets handed off. That goes into the pocket of the plainclothes guys. And then the guy in the gray jumps up and blocks the camera angle. Then I've seen another on Brother Steve Quayle's website today. They showed it from a different angle, and they showed it where the cracked glass is on the left side. You can see more clearly. And you see coming from the front of the glass of those doors, while the girl's on the right-hand pane hanging up, she's trying to get through, or she's just hanging there, whatever she's doing. And then you see an arm reach out of a side doorway in the other side of the hall, and the arm comes out. It's got a navy blue or a black sport jacket on, or suit jacket. It's got a white cuffs, and they look like they've even got maybe a French cuff to them. They're starched. They're really, it's a nice shirt. And it comes out either with a Glock or a Sig Sauer, I believe. And you go, and it, with one hand, and it's not more than 4 or 5 feet away from her neck, and boom, they shoot her through the throat. Well, then that would have gone through. Then the arm peels back into the room. And then they, all of a sudden, then, on that video, you see the guys in the blue step over there. But why are the Capitol Police with M4 rifles, at least two in the blue, one in the gray, and a plainclothes guy, why are they within 2 to 3 feet of her in the room with an alleged Antifa-affiliated cameraman named Sullivan, and then other people who were down the left who were also taking videos, at least two other video shots? They killed that woman, and then they wanted to get the bullet, and then all day yesterday afternoon, even when you and I knew that the Capitol Police or somebody shot her right there, they were alluding on TV that this woman may have been shot from the crowd, you see. But why is she there in the first place with, and behind her, Capitol Police officers? Why didn't they just reach up and grab her and pull her down to the ground, put a handcuff on her, and arrest her? The other guy with the M4 could have held off the 10 other people in the room. Then you had the blue suit jacket guy in that room, also with them. But then they got another one that shot her. So did they have to kill the MK Ultra or the operative that led some people in there with her to go inside the deal to make this thing the way they wanted it to be. And now let's get to the point of what they wanted to be. But what that was a blood sacrifice. That was a blood sacrifice for their evil doing that comes from the plans of Lucifer as developed by the artificial intelligence that the CIA, NSA, the DIA, and all of the top slots and the top bankers are using on you and on Trump. Now, what did they want to do? Immediately, they wanted to stop the real information getting out in a House-Senate joint session. They precluded the information about the truth about the stealing of the election from coming out, didn't they? That's a little operational goal, wasn't it? They pretty much did that and changed the whole picture and narrative and made people back off. The Leffler, Susan Leffler, she backed off. Others backed off. They got the message from the CIA and the powers that be above. Is that with this girl being killed, they could kill anybody, you see. 14 years Air Force. But why is she out there when her husband is over here? And then the chief of police of the Metro Police, who was on with the mayor, Bow Wow, today, Bowser, and he gives the name of this girl, and then he says the second name he gives is Ashley Babbitt, but he can't pronounce Babbitt. He can't pronounce it. But he gives another name, and I couldn't hear it, but he gave another name and an address for her in Maryland. In Maryland, where the Puzzle Palace is at. Was she an operative or was she MK Ultra? All I remember is back in the days in the 90s, there was that guy, was Buford R. Perot, who lit the kids up at a Jewish daycare school or whatever, the primary school. Lit them all up. And I remember Colonel Bo Greitz telling me back then that, hell, man, Buford R. Perot had a phone extension at the Pentagon. Because Greitz called it and he got, yeah, this is Buford R. Perot, leave a message, okay? That is what your government can do and does do. So what they did was to do the blood sacrifice. They prevented operationally the fuller investigation and dissemination of the information. The more full information about the stealing of the election would have gone out on live on C-SPAN and all of that. They prevented that. Secondly, what do they really want? They wanted to destroy Trump finally and destroy any future influence he might have and to destroy, they think, in the minds of 74, 5 million people that there will never be a room for another populist president like Trump ever again. You're just supposed to vote for Romney and then vote for Clinton and then vote for Bush and then vote for China Joe, and then vote for McCalla-Hara, you know. So there are a lot of similarities between JFK and this. Both of them have taken out a president. The lies are still rolling. And then that gave everybody cover who was a quote-unquote fake friend or ally of Trump. Lindsey Graham, the hungry man Pence, probably. A whole lot of others. And most of those people take their lunch money from the CIA or there's blackmail on them because that's the way you get to Congress. They got blackmail on you, whatever it is. On the other hand, I told you a week ago, that I'm not going to throw myself on the first dog pile that happens. Because that thing in D.C., had they have gone with the weapons, up front, like was originally being pushed and talked about? Then the helicopter gunships that probably practiced in the Zephyr Hills down near the Reserve and National Guard base in Florida, they would have been ready to rock and roll, okay? But they decided not to go that way because they had so much inside people running ahead, you see, the fast movers. And I could even tell when the horn started sounding, I knew that was the Antifa crowd. And then when you see the guy with the helmet and the fur hat and all that crap, and you remember seeing him, the same guy, where he had purple or blue body paint all over him and blue stuff on his face instead of the red. He's an operative. He was an actor or an operative that they're inserting in. And I'm going to tell you something. When the riot was declared at that point, oh, well, we didn't want to help, but this is just a misdemeanor, blah, 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 blah. Well, let me tell you something. If you had some Capitol Police with a dadgum pump shotgun, you could have stopped about five people at each entrance, and that thing would have backed right up. Oh, but you can't do that because then you would still have the 99% or more of all the good people that were Trump supporters who actually went there to try to help and to fight for President Trump. Because we know the election was stolen, and it was. Don't go into there Luciferian knife without a fight. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Stand for your Bill of Rights. Find your men and women of valor. Use your high technology. Take out high above and speak. Take out those that work for Lucifer and the perpetrators, all of them. Fandango Racing, I know you're ready. Mickey LaFleur, baby. There's stand copies that are going to come. And everybody out there, you better prepare tonight to get ready because they're going to come for your gun. They're going to raise your taxes. Gasoline, good for $5, $6, $7 a gallon. Jab you, put you in a concentration camp. Hey, Lord Jesus, protect us all. Road and track, little ill. May the Lord bless me. Good night.